All right, we're back here, and we're back here with Todd Clevenger. Good morning, Todd.
Good morning.
And Todd is here to talk a little bit about Africa. He was there, did you leave Monday?
I left a week ago Monday and just got back 2 days ago.
Okay. So tell us a little bit about Kenya. What's it like?
Yeah, well, this is my first trip to Kenya. I've been to many other countries. And I had the opportunity to live in the village. So I lived with no running water and way out on the other side of the mountain, as they would say.
Wow. That's roughing it.
It was kind of interesting. I learned how they take showers, or if they call it a shower, which is after you get yourself a tub of water, you use a cup to pour it over your head and soap up and rinse off.
Mm-hmm.
So I learned quite a bit. I ate authentic Kenya food the whole week, and I stayed with a pastor at his house. So during the week, we went to churches, schools, hospitals, government agencies, and really got a flair for what's happening in Kenya.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Is it getting better?
It is in certain aspects. The Kenya is fortunate that they have a new president and vice president that are Christians. When they were sworn in, they actually got on their knees and prayed to God for giving them favor.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of excitement in Kenya about what's happening. They're starting to roll out fiber optics. They're still in the capital city. And they have a vision called Vision 2030, which by 2030 they want every first grader to have a computer, and that would follow them through the schools.
Oh, yes.
So they have a long way to go, as half of their country have never seen a computer.
Yeah. Now, that's somewhat like Burundi started, isn't it?
It is. It is. Burundi started with their last president in 06 when he was elected, and he dedicated to his term and the country to Christianity, and in the 7 years, they're up to 90% Christian in their country.
Wow.
And they're doing the same thing. We are working with actually the government of Burundi on strategy on how to roll out, how to bring technology up to where they can create jobs, but they also will learn computers and how they can use that in their business.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about the food project that you were working on.
Yeah, it's very interesting. Through connections, we ran into an organization called Kids Against Hunger, and they're nationwide, and they were in Grand Rapids. They have an office in Michigan, and they work with churches to develop food that they can ship to third world countries. And then the food is dried food. It's dried chicken, soy, vegetables, and rice. And they make these packets, and then they put them in boxes, and they ship them out. Well, through my connections with them, and then they started donating food to us. So we've received donations of over 300,000 meals that can go anywhere we want to ship them. And so out of those 300,000 meals, we're shipping some to Haiti and to South Africa on containers that are heading there, but also have some earmarked for Burundi and Kenya. In places really way out in the middle of nowhere where they don't have anything.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, in Kenya, I was at a church this past Sunday with the Archbishop of Kenya, one of the very high-ranking Christians there, and he was talking about a food program way out in the villages where they really don't have anything. It's not rainy season. They have trouble growing crops. And they had a sponsor to help with some of the food, and the sponsor had to pull out. So these meals that go to Kenya will probably go in that direction.
Mm-hmm. What do they normally grow?
It's a great question. Where I stayed, for instance, with the pastor, he was growing all of his own crops. So he had fruit. Mangoes are very big,
mm-hmm.
and they have different cantaloupe, that sort of thing. But they grow pretty much most of their own food. And what I thought was also interesting is the meat that they use, is always fresh. They, in town, somebody might slaughter a lamb or a, a cow even, and then different people will come and buy different pieces.
Mm-hmm.
And so we always had fresh meat.
What's the water situation there?
The water situation in Kenya, where I was at, they have two rainy seasons. And the one rainy season is a few weeks away, about ready to start. During the rainy season, they have lots of water in most areas. But when it's dry, like right now, most people don't have any water. And so they literally, it's a case where I was staying, they walk, you know, sometimes many, many miles over mountains to get, you know, a big bucket of water. And they might do that once or twice a day to bring back water for their whole family.
So that's the job of the day, is getting water.
There it is. Some people's jobs during the dry season is to get two buckets of water a day.
Mm-hmm.
Where we were, when we saw different wells, they might be lined up, 100 people waiting for their turn to get water, which generally what happens is you buy the water. So you wait by a well, you fill up a big bucket, and then you pay the owner of the land where the well is for the water, which was one of the interesting things that we talked about on how to help the churches in Kenya. It's all due to water. They say, some of the small churches I saw, they were operating on whatever they could to survive. There's not a lot of money. They might have a couple cows, which pays the pastor's family and the church. And they were saying if literally they had a drilling machine to drill wells, they could put a well in each church, thus take care of their congregation. They could grow crops with the well, and they could also sell the water at reduced rates to the locals, which would bring them to the church. So it's quite an interesting idea on how to reach out to the community, help your congregation, and also be able to bring in income.
Right, right. Todd is here with us today, and he is with Barnabas Charities. And if you have a question of him, you may call us here at 395-1450. He'd be happy to try and answer questions. We're talking about Africa, Kenya, and Burundi, both of the countries that you've been visiting recently and have quite an association with now, don't you?
I do. It started less than a year ago, quite honestly, and I'm one that really, all I'm trying to do is following the doors that God opens for me. And Burundi was very interesting because I didn't even know there was a country in Burundi a year ago. And I ended up meeting an ambassador from Burundi who invited me to the United Nations in New York to meet the First Lady of Burundi and attend different business meetings discussing how to help African countries. And once I met the First Lady, she invited me to Burundi.
And you're in the circle then?
I'm in the circle.
Okay, time out for a word here. Good morning, you're online with Todd.
I just wondered about how deep do they have to go for the average well there. I'll hang up and listen. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. How deep do you have to go for the average well?
It's a great question. In Kenya, it's a big, there's a big variation because it's very, very hilly. And it depends on where the water is underneath the land, of course. So what they do even there is they try to guess the best they can. And in some instances, they might just have to go, a couple hundred feet. In other areas, they might have to go up to almost 900 feet to get good, clean water.
Good morning. You're online with our guest this morning.
Yes. I have a question.
Go ahead.
Last Sunday night, my husband and I, we were involved in packaging food for the orphanages in Africa. And it was a big, huge group at Emmanuel Church. And in the hour and a half, the big group that I was with packaged about 33,000 packages of food or 38,000 that we shipped out. That one bag, how long is that one bag for a day or one bag per child? How do they figure that out? We didn't ask that question, and I wondered if Todd knew that.
Yeah, I do know that. I'm sure that was with an organization called Kids Against Hunger that I was talking about earlier. And one of those bags supplies 6 adult meals, and sometimes that equals 12 children's meals if they're young kids. So it's either six adult meals or 12 children's meals per bag.
Okay. Very organized. It was very, we met a lot of people. We tasted the food. It could have had a little salt and pepper, but besides that, it was a great organization.
Yeah, it really is, and that's what we do with Barnabas Charities. We will work with anybody that makes sense, and we found them to be a really good partner. We help them out when we can, and they help us out when we can. And as a side note, the food, I have actually got response back from the people that eat the food, and they absolutely love it.
It was a great organization that we volunteered to work for, and if any big church can do it, it's well worth it. Well worth your hour and a half time to go and help package it.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
All right. You want to talk to Todd? Give us a call, 395-1452.
So, when the need arises, please consider one of four Dykstra locations in Holland and Saugatuck. We would be honored to serve your family.
Good morning. You're online with our guest.
Yes, I turned in a little bit late. Could you explain who Todd is and what his organization is?
Todd runs Barnabas Charities, and they basically have been working in Africa of late. So, and he wrote a book also called
Letting Go.
Letting Go, yes. Okay.
All right. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
I started Barnabas Charities 12 years ago, and we've been doing work in the United States as well, but now we're pretty much concentrating on third world countries. And it's an organization that I tend to say is one of the most efficient organizations, and the fact that we haven't paid any salaries yet. We basically work with volunteers, and so we just try to raise money to cover costs.
Okay. Todd, tell us a story about the moringa tree.
The moringa tree is an amazing tree that is native to India. I ran into this, about a year ago, and it's also called the vitamin tree, and they also call it the miracle tree. And it's a tree that grows very fast, and it grows without a lot of water. So every 6 months, you can harvest the tree, and there's two different things you can harvest. There's seeds. One seed will either grow another tree, or you can take the leaves and crush it into powder, put it into soup, put it into porridge, and it will give a child all the nutrition they need. The seeds can also be used to take the dirty sediments out of water. So you could take a liter of water from a creek, take a seed, crush it kind of up, mix it up in water, pour it into the liter of water, and it would actually take all the sediments and it'll set it on the bottom where it'll be drinkable water. It's quite an amazing tree. Well, one interesting story was I knew about the moringa tree, and it will grow anywhere except for in freezing environments, so it won't grow in Michigan climate. But in Africa, it's great. India, it's great. And I was talking to a missionary heading to India, and I told her about the moringa tree. I gave her information. She read about it on the way to India. When she arrived, what she found out is they had all these moringa trees, but they didn't know what they were. So she explained in a church meeting what the moringa tree was. By the time she walked out, they were already harvesting the tree. They planted many additional groves, and I actually got a personal invitation from, I think it's the governor in the area, that when they first harvest the trees, they want me to be there. But the amazing thing is it's a tree that will give nutrition in third world countries when they lack nutrition.
Mm-hmm.
So it's something that grows like a weed, and it's really good because in some areas all they get is rice, and they live on rice. Well, there's not a lot of...
Not the healthiest diet.
Not the healthiest.
Okay. Got another call here. Good morning. You're on the line with Todd.
Yes. Could I explain again the churches in the well situation, raising money? I didn't catch that all. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks for the question. When I was in Kenya this past week, or the last couple of weeks, what a lot of churches have in Kenya is the need for water. The churches are very, very poor, as you can imagine. The people who go there don't have a lot of money, so the churches will do anything they can to raise enough money to keep the church in operation. That might be having a couple cows, that might be trying to grow some crops. Well, if they had a well, the water would be used in many different ways. One, to take care of the congregation for their water needs. Two, it could grow crops, keep in the dry season, they would have a water supply. But three, they could also sell the water to other people who need water. That would create income, which would create the church afloat and have enough money to operate. So one of our discussions while in Kenya was if we could find grant or raise money for a drilling machine, we could literally go out and drill hundreds and hundreds of wells. Every church, you know, out in the outskirts, you could put a well at that church. Thus, it would take care of all the issues, most of the issues that the church has regarding raising money, regarding keeping the food on the table for the pastor, for the congregation, that sort of thing. I think that's what we were talking about.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. By the way, is your book still on sale?
My book is still on sale. It's called Letting Go, About My Faith Journey. And it's been received really well, and they've been shipping, I guess, all over the world now. And you can either buy it on Amazon, Amazon.com, Kindle. It's an electronic form on Kindle.com or at BarnabasCharities.com.
Okay. All right. Just in case folks are interested in haven't read it yet, why?
Yeah, I would love for people to read my book and let me know what they think. It's been, I guess, very inspirational to other people. That's most of the feedback I get. And it just talks about how I got into missions, how I sold my business, put the money into missions, and decided to follow God full tilt, which isn't always easy, quite honestly.
Well, sometimes he's not sure. You're not sure what the speed he is moving at.
Yeah, I've kind of taken on the philosophy. It's the only way to kind of survive when you don't know, you know, where the money's going to come from to pay for your trip or your food if God opens a door, I just try to walk through it. And if the next door opens, I walk through that one. And if the door closes, I'll turn a different direction. And if I just keep to that philosophy, I'm quite amazed at what God will do.
Good morning. You're on the line with Todd.
Yes. Could he say how much a drilling machine would approximately cost, and also where is Charities located? Thank you.
Thank you.
The Charities located in Grand Rapids. I'm a Holland boy. Grew up here and went to Holland High. And the drilling machine, we're trying to get an accurate quote from that right now. There's two different components. Quite honestly, you have the drilling. The machine that actually drills the hole, and then you have a truck that it has to sit on to get to the right places. So I've heard in the neighborhood of $150,000 for a drilling machine. So right now we're waiting on the quote. Originally, the first time I talked to people that seemed to know what they're talking about was $100,000, and then I talked to someone who said it might be up to $200,000. Well, as we got talking to people who have done this before in Kenya, because I was in Kenya talking, it seems to be right around $150,000 for the drilling machine and the truck to house the drilling machine and take care of all the costs. And then what happens is there's some additional cost every time you drill a hole, you know, how to get the water out, right, that sort of thing. And that, as talking to all these churches, the churches would be required to somehow sacrifice and raise that money. It's not a lot of money for that part of it.
Mm-hmm.
The majority of the money is the drilling machine and in the truck, and the thought would be is if we could raise that money, then they have a pretty good church association that all the different denominations belong to where I was at, and the Archbishop is among them, so they have roughly 100,000 churches in their association that's under the Archbishop, so the drilling machine would go under kind of their control to make sure that it's used the right way and just for churches, and they can just keep moving one church to another church to another church.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right, we're going to take a moment out here for the weather word brought to you by Hoppin' Grinders, I should say, pizzas, appetizers, and more. Hoppin' in downtown Fenville. And the outlook for weather: windy with showers today, steady temperatures in the upper 40s, and tonight showers with a low of 41, and tomorrow showers with a high of 47. And right now we are at 47 degrees here in the Tulip City. We're here with Todd Clevenger this morning, and he's talking about his I'd say, adventures in Africa, because they certainly are adventures. You made a lot of friends in South Africa, too, didn't you?
I did, and that's where we started our work, in Africa, in South Africa. The chaplain of the army is one of my best friends, and we started in Africa by looking at projects that have good Christian leadership, as we never want to start our own project, but we look for a project that's doing great things with great Christian leadership, but they have gaps. They just need a little bit of help to get over the tip of that hill. And then we try to find a sponsor to fill in the gaps for them so that mm-hmm. they can really be successful in their orphanage, their job creation project, whatever their project is.
Mm-hmm. And you solicit for help on these things, and you get help automatically.
I tell you what, the one thing I realize is I don't know if it's the economy or what, but the donations have really been low, so we're really struggling with that. We've been working on, right now we're working on sending some containers with refurbished computers, which will help them with training both in Burundi and in Kenya, and then medical equipment and supplies, which they just don't have. And we think, even though we do need used computers, if anybody has any, would love to take them off your hands and refurbish them and bring them to Africa. But one of the big things we need is donations to help support the cost of the containers, which is at least $10,000 to get it from here, buy the container, get it from here, bring it all the way to Kenya or Burundi, which is. Not on the ocean, so that's a little bit longer.
Yeah. Now, those containers don't just go to waste when they get over there. They're well used, aren't they?
That is correct. We buy the containers, and the reason being is the containers are like gold over there. But most of the containers that we have shipped over there are now project headquarters. For instance, the first container we sent to South Africa, which talks about in my book, is a project headquarters that teach the children how to stay away from prostitution, drugs. They teach them dance, music, help them with after school. They feed them. But they also teach the parents how to parent and teach the parent life skills. And they do all that out of one container.
Pretty amazing, isn't it?
It really is. And the nice thing about containers are they are safe and they aren't going to burn down.
That's right. That's right.
So even if it wasn't a project headquarters, there's always use for the containers.
Todd, how does helping Africa help us over here?
Well, I think the number one thing that comes to mind is, you know, the Great Commission is I think that's our Christian duty.
Go ye into all the world.
Others. Yes, going into all the world and help out others. This what's happening in Burundi with their Christian leadership. Literally, the other countries of Africa are watching this. Mm-hmm. And if we can help Burundi change with Christian values, the other countries are going to jump and do the same thing. It literally could be the greatest Christian movement that I've seen in my lifetime, number one. And number two, on another note, it's been widely known, you know, we've been helping Africa for, gosh, last 120 years.
At least.
And they say we've been doing things wrong. And they're correct. About half of our mission teams go there, and we want to force our culture on them versus going in there, understanding who they are, understanding what their needs are, and trying to help them be better by themselves. Try to empower them, teach them to do things better, but not impact, you know, American. We're Americans. We are different than Africans.
Right.
And Kenyans is a different, entirely different than a Burundian. And I think their history, their culture, they have to do it within that or it won't be successful. So they say about half of the mission teams aren't successful because we don't look at them. We don't look at self-sustaining projects. We don't look at empowering them. We want to show them how we would do it as Americans.
Mm-hmm.
More and more, that word has gotten out, and more, I think mission teams now are going there with helping empower them, with helping them getting their projects going that they can run forever.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that we've always done at Barnabas Charities. We never want to go there and start our own project. We just want to help them do their projects better.
Okay. And if anyone wants to help, they can send donations to Barnabas Charities?
Yeah, there's two big things that we're looking for now is if anybody knows of businesses that has computers that they're replacing, we would love to take them off their hands.
Yeah.
But the other thing is, donations. I can guarantee you that the money's going to go for these containers and for some of these other work that we talked about. And there's two different ways. One is we're looking for partners that would love to commit to even as little as $25 a month, which equates to over about 750 meals in some places in Africa, $25 a month, and or a one-time donation. And they could do that at barnabascharities.org.
Okay. So there you have it. It's easy. If you want to help, barnabascharities.org. And we've got to get out of here. Todd, thank you so much for being our guest this morning here on Talk of the Town.
Well, thank you for having me. I really enjoyed my time.